How's everybody doing right here? Okay, thought I would get more of a response out of them. Anyway, it's good to be here. My name is Casey, for those of you who I haven't met. My wife Allison is right here, she's playing guitar, and I'm the guy who is playing drums, yeah. He's so good, so sick. The drummer, it's me. It's a lot of fun, I like playing the drums. We got two kids, 5 and 3, Adam and Natalie, who are put away. They're yonder. When we're on stage, we're like, just go. Here's a closet. Just go, because they're, 5 and 3. They're maniacs. A couple things before I get started. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. And just a couple things. River of Life is fertile soil. And I say that because we got a lot of things going on. And just so you know, if you don't know, there's no paid staff here. Everybody is here. Everybody that you see doing anything does it for free because they love it. Every event that gets put on, every meeting that happens, every ministry that exists, every detail that gets put into place, somebody took their time and energy and effort and put it into this body. And that's an amazing thing. It's very rare. And I also want to say that this is a place where you can give money. There's no paid staff, but there's events coming up. Listen, Hope is here. I'm not involved with Hope Over America. I don't get a dime for saying this. But like, to make this thing happen, there's flyers, there's, the people who are coming out, they have the stage, they got the sound equipment, they know what they're doing. We got to pay policemen. We got to pay ambulances to be on staff. We got to pay other people. We got to put up marketing materials. So we got to storm the streets and hand out flyers. And there's a cost to that. And if you're looking to give to a good ministry, that's a good ministry. You can go into your app, into the Church Center app, which you should have on your phone, because that the future of communication is digital. The future of communication is mind reading, but for now it's digital. So I just want to say, you can go in there and you can go into events or whatever. I think it's pretty under give, and there's an event in there that you can give. You just hit nine. You just keep hitting nines. 9999999. You link your bank account and it just takes all the. I'm just kidding. You don't have to put that. Whatever, dude. If it's $5, if it's $20, don't put it on a credit card. There you go. But whatever, that's something that we're working towards. God is going to provide. But if it's on your heart to help, we need volunteers and people are volunteering, thank you. But there's a financial component to it that you can also help that needs to happen. You're like, I don't know if I can storm the streets and hand out flyers or do whatever. It's like, okay, fine, but you can still participate in this. And that's what it means to be part of this body. You got something you can bring to the table, that's a place too. Same thing with Coats for Kids. I might recommend a telethon. You can call 1-877 Coats for Kids. KOTS Coats for Kids. I'm just kidding. That's another very good ministry. That's a joke for Cars for Kids. Every time he says it, it's all I think about. And finally, it's out of my system, so I'll never think about it again. I apologize. Forgive me, Lord. But that's a good ministry because there's people, there's homeless people, there's people who are less fortunate. They lost their job, they can't do whatever, and they just need help for a season. And we can provide that. We've provided it for many years. That is a fertile soil if you want to sow into that ministry and sow into this community. So just so you know, yes, Coats are great. Also, there's a financial component to these things. And if you don't, I don't care. Don't finish that. But I'm a child. But if you don't, it's no sweat off my back. Right? God will provide. God will make things happen. And we'll do what we can. But there's opportunity. There's all, the general fund. Got to keep the lights on. We're not poor, by the way. I don't even know what our financial situation is. I've not told anybody I was going to mention this. Nobody's told me to say anything. I'm just letting you know that there are these opportunities and that anything and everything is welcome, because together we make this thing happen. Okay? With God as our source. Also, even outside of financially, we do need children's teachers. We need people to teach the teens, these other groups other classes. That's the word I'm looking for. So if you have it on your heart or you don't have it on your heart and you want to give it a go, you know, we need people to sign up for September to take maybe one Sunday out of a month every 6 weeks. I don't exactly know, but to take, like, not sit in here and go sit in there. And I'll tell you what, I've done the teens a few times and I was so scared. I'm like, well, they're going to be in front of me. It's like, you know what it's like to be a teenager. It's like, I was like you, but way worse. And so I'm sitting in there and you get, you know, judged and all this other stuff. But like, you know, you got to grow up sometime. So them, whether it's nursery, whatever, I don't know. But we need people to help out with that stuff too. Yes, there's a financial component, but time, energy, and effort instead of sitting here. Can you help? Yes, you can help. Talk to Jamie, talk to Rachel, talk to me. I'm just going to tell you to talk to somebody else. But, you know, we can, if you want to help, we need help. And come September, like, new schedules are coming, and it's a little thin, okay? I'll just say that's a little thin. So please consider, it's like, hey, I don't know if I can do it, but can you pair me with somebody who's more experienced? Wow, doesn't that sound like a little bit of discipleship? And so you can learn how to do that. Whether you have kids, whether you don't have kids, whether you have a teen, whether you don't have a teen, whether you, like, whatever the situation is, there's materials. You don't have to come up with everything. Like, it's a simple process. Anything you want to do, please help. So, yes. This is, okay. I wasn't planning on talking about this today, but now that you mention it, like, there's a lot of really skilled people here. A lot of really skilled people here. Skilled in teachers, skilled in sound booth, skilled in the online stream, skilled in music. If you're skilled in that area or you're unskilled in that area, but you would like to help serve and you would like to increase your skill, learn a little bit more. Listen, I'll be honest. There's some people who can sing and some people who can't sing. Raise your hand if you can't sing. This guy, I'm very interested in singing. They won't let me. They won't let me do it. I'm like, give me, they're like, you should have a mic. I'm like, I know, it's so great. I'm like, oh, Lord, yeah. Like, what is that? That needs to stop. That is the drummer.
They can give you a mic. They just mute.
Yeah, that's right. I still come through. But listen. If getting involved doesn't mean you have everything together in that area, but if you're like a mediocre guitarist, there's probably somebody who's a way better guitarist. If you want to learn how to play the drums, like, I can help you out a little bit. Like, I can teach you some things that I know. There's some effort that comes in. If you want to help out with kids' church and you're brand new, there's somebody who you'll be paired with who is further along than you, who knows more stuff, who knows the things to say, who knows how to put some things together. And you can come under them as they're leading this class. You can come under them and learn from them and learn those types of skills, which is a form of creating disciples and multiplying. We're busting at the seams. I don't know how long we're going to be in this building, but whatever's going to happen, I don't know. But at the same time, if we're going to grow, we need more people teaching more people and more people willing to come under those people to learn these different areas and help support. Because nobody here is paid. Everybody's volunteering. And a little bit of your time to take something off of somebody else's plate, you don't understand how far that goes. And the God is not into addition or subtraction or division. God is into multiplication. This is how we multiply. One person helps two people. Two people help two people. And now we're already down to four, six, seven. Seven, four, five, six, seven. Something like that. Some type of number that's bigger than one or two or something that you would add. There's multiplication happening. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so this is the heart of discipleship. And it doesn't have to be, it could be one-on-one, that's great. It could be one-on-three, it could be one-on-five, whatever. But there are those types of things that are available. And you'd be surprised at how being discipled in a skill turns into discipling in your life and in your heart. And a relationship that gets developed, maybe an unlikely relationship that gets developed, where all of a sudden you're in nursery and kids are running around and you got a second to say, hey, you got a minute? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, it's a bunch of kids running around. That's what's going on. But let me share my heart. Can you help me? I just need to talk to somebody. And this, I believe, is a great thing of discipleship.
We need to get the teens into more serving.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So teens, if you have teens, Steve was just saying, like, we should get the teens into more serving roles. We can talk about that, see what that looks like, see who's up for it with, you know, maybe parents can say, hey, you should really urge them to do that as well. So there's opportunities there for whatever that looks like. All right. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Just kidding. So it's good to be here. Good to be here. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. We'll see how this goes. We're going on vacation for a couple weeks down to North Carolina. So if we're not here for the next 2 weeks, that's why. So if this goes poorly, it's not because of that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's warm down there. Maybe we'll stay. Just kidding. And so we're talking about praying for families. You know, it's like, do we trust God with our families? What do we do when we're at the end of it? When our kids leave our house, or, you know, when we just can't get on the same wavelength as our parents or our brothers and sisters or whatever, and we're just having a discussion, and you're just like, why? Remember, you know, we talked about love and respect yesterday, like men and women, even in a spouse, or men and women in general, but a husband and wife relationship. With love and respect is this idea of men communicate and hear with like the color blue, like a blue megaphone, and they hear with blue headphones or whatever. And women, it's pink. So when I speak in blue, but Allison interprets it through her pink system, it's just like you're not on the same wavelength. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of effort to bridge that communication gap. But even at the end of the day, like, do you understand this idea? And it's just like you can't figure it out. You just can't get on the same page. Like, what do you do? You're like, I've done everything I can. I don't know what else to do with my children. I've said everything correctly to my brother. I did everything correctly for my wife or my husband. Like, I just don't understand. And there's a supernatural component that is required in order to break through to people. It's the Spirit of God who needs to come on them and reveal himself to them and reveal truth to them for whatever you're discussing. And in this case, you know, a lot of times we're talking about salvation. And I think, you know, my goal, Neil talked about this a couple weeks ago, where he's like, you know, in this region, we have all of the great schools, you know, all of these Ivy Leagues, Little Ivy. Boston is an epicenter of knowledge and education and higher universities. And our goal, especially for our children or even ourselves, we can fall into this. We're like, I need another degree. I got to get smarter. What am I going to have? What are my credentials? And it's like those types of things are important as God leads you down those paths. But Harvard, getting your kid into Harvard is alliteration. That's why I picked that one. Getting your kid into Harvard is not greater than getting your kid into heaven. One lady over here got excited. Like that's all. I'm pro education, very pro education. I think my kids are smart. I think your kids are smart. I think that you should learn. Like you should learn, right? Like, does everybody need to go to college? Not saying that. Does everybody need a bachelor's, a master's, a PhD? It's like you see the trends in those things, but it's like, you know what? Are those really required? And we have the burden sometimes, even in raising young kids. It's like we want them to be somebody. We wanted them to do something. But superseding all of those life goals that you have and how you plan to vicariously live through other people in your family, eternal life is of the utmost importance. The focus on eternal life, without that, like, just like the scriptures say, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? You can be filthy rich. You can have the greatest car. You can fulfill all of your life dreams and goals. You can do all of that. But at what cost? If you focus on all of those things, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his soul? What's the point? Because there's going to come a time where you're going to die and I'm going to die. The death rate is roughly one per person. And as you pass through that event, to the nearest, you know, 5 sig figs, it is trending towards one. As you pass through death and you stand before God, then what? And we hope that our kids and ourselves and our spouses and in our families, as we walk with people who are saved and unsaved, that they would move into eternal life. And what is eternal life? John 17. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And that is my prayer this morning, that we would know him more deeply, and we will spend an eternity in his presence, just looking at him, looking at his glory. And as every day passes, we will realize that there is still an eternity there's an eternity that we will spend learning who he is, learning of the riches of his grace, learning of his mercies, learning of his goodness. And we chalk it up and we go, oh, is God good? God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. We're like, check. Anyway, so tell me what I got to do in order to fix this. There's practical things in the Bible. But the foundation of our lives and the foundation of our family's lives, if it is not based on knowing him and on a path to know him more, I just think we're a little bit off. And so we're in Ephesians talking about how to pray for our family. I'm going to start from the beginning, not on the slides, but I'll start from the beginning and then we'll pick it up in verse 15 and dive into a couple things here. So Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want you to soak this in for a minute. You can close your eyes, just soak in these words, or you can read along. NASB is what I'm reading. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens, things in the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praises of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory, the blessings of redemption. Verse 15, here's our text. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith of the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and he gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ephesians chapter 1. Father, we thank you for this morning, for this worship service. Lord, let it continue here as we see your word. May we worship you more. I pray that you would open our hearts, that you would enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that you would pour out your spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of you so that we could understand these things. Lord, let these seeds fall in fertile soil. In Jesus' name, amen. So, man, I'm gonna get to my favorite topic here. Man, it's not about us. All of this is about him. And sometimes, so many times, we are in situations and we're like, we get so excited because our favorite topic is us. We do great things, or we get to hold the microphone in front of a bunch of people, or whatever. But the ultimate purpose from the beginning of time to now was to glorify the Son and to make him known to all creation. And to make him known, we have to go deeper into knowing him and pulling out, like, just pleading with God. You know, it's the bigger the prayers, the stronger the words you use. You don't get more credit. But that effort in prayer to say, God, pour out your wisdom, pour out your spirit on these people who I love, I believe is greatly honored. Perhaps in the minute, perhaps over time, but I believe that it's greatly honored. And so last week we talked about knowing God and having the eyes of our heart enlightened and praying that for the people around us. And there's a phrase after that. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that. And now Paul gets into why that is important. And he mentions three powerful things, I think, three very important things that are summed up in knowing God, but also components of knowing God that I hope that we look to and seek out ourselves, but also hope that he pours out on the people we love the most in our families and our family here. So the first, the hope of his calling. And so, you know, hope is a tricky thing. You're like, I hope it doesn't rain today. And you're like, oh, is it going to rain? It's like, we use these words in English and they have, you know, multiple meanings, but like, hope is a very important and powerful biblical topic when you understand the end game too. You know, there's going to come a day where this old earth and this old world passes away and it's going to be made new. And there's going to be no tears and no pain and no suffering. But in this life now, there's still this curse that we're working through, and we still have enemies, and we're still made of flesh, and we're still combating with the enemy who is defeated yet still on the prowl. It's like the already finished but the not yet season. And so in those times, where is our hope? The hope of his calling, first of all, you have to understand that you were called. Sometimes we're like, I'm going to be a Christian today. And it's like, I don't know if you just get to pick. Like, he predestined us into, like, all of these things. Like, I don't know if you just get to pick. So for all you Armenians versus Calvinists, like, pause. But I'm just saying, I don't want to get into that, but pause. But what I'm saying is, like, he has called you. He has called you by name. He's formed you in your mother's womb. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And he says, I want you. I want you. And that calling produces hope, because now you know that God calls you by himself, for himself, with none of your qualifications in mind. And now you're like, oh, but I can read and write and do arithmetic. Or maybe you're like, yeah, I'm totally unqualified, and you're proud of that. Fine. Regardless of where you fall on that, your qualifications are irrelevant, because he has decided and he has called you, and in his sovereign will, he has pulled you out of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his Son. And that brings hope, and that brings, listen, an anchor to your soul. Because when things go in your life, things are awry in your life, and they go crazy, and it's hectic. I mean, think about, like, our young kids. I'm like, in 20 years, the things that they're going to face, the way that the world is trending, I'm like, God, I pray that they would know you and that they would know the hope of your calling, so that their souls would be anchored in something other than the constantly changing ideas in this world. That they would be anchored not just in the word, which is vital, but they would be anchored in the true word, in you, and that there's hope because they've been called, and that even though things could go one way, they could go another. They could live a great life and have a calling to reach people in a very, you know, prosperous area, or they could be called to Africa and be slaughtered as martyrs. But regardless of where they fall in that spectrum, is there hope in their soul? Will they continue to press on because they know him, because there's hope of a future, because there's hope that maybe there's not hope that tomorrow is going to be better today, because there's going to come a point where you're on that crest and it doesn't look that great. But you rely on his promises, because his promises and this covenant was made by God through his son for you. And you're just put in it. Okay. So back to the first half. Verse 4. He chose us in him. In him we have redemption. Intentions which he purposed in him. In him we have obtained inheritance. In him you believed. You were sealed in him. Like, we are in Christ. I want my family to be moved in Christ so that they understand that they just get it. That they know that God says the law didn't work and it wasn't supposed to work. But it was just a way to show sin, whatever. I don't have that in my notes, so we're going to forget that. And I don't want to go down that path. But it's going to, all these sacrifices are going to point to the final sacrifice. And the final sacrifice is Jesus on the cross dying as the last sacrifice, the final lamb, the Lamb of God. And God makes this promise, regardless of what my kids do or don't do, what they do or don't know, regardless of what my nieces and nephews do or don't know. And now, when they understand that this is how God is going to bring about his plan, and we just get it at a price that was paid that we can't even fathom, but to us it's free. You know that he made this promise to himself, by himself, and it is irrevocable. It cannot be taken away because the sacrifice worked. And God called you, and God put you in Christ. And so there's a hope for you because you've been called, and it's an anchor to your soul that you don't need to be anxious because he's got you, because he called you. You understand? But we have to know him. We have to say, Lord, pour out your spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that we could know you, so that this would become a reality. Because otherwise, it's like Sunday school, and you're like, who is Jesus? He died to take away my badness. Fine. Okay. Wrong. You know. But it's close enough for like a three-year-old. We're like, okay, that's great. Or your child can repeat back to the gospel to you. Or they could repeat back scripture. Or people can just check off the boxes. Or we can play religion. We can play religion. Listen, I'm good at it. I'm real good at it. But we need to know him. We need to, I'm out. Like, I don't even know what to say to make it more powerful, other than I hope that God stirs your hearts and you go, yeah, I do. And yeah, my family does. We do need to know him more. And how can you know him more? You could pray, you could read and get in community. There's life groups coming up, all that stuff. You could serve, you can reflect on the day. I don't really care what you do, but I just pray that as time goes by, we're pursuing knowing him. And I pray that he would pour out his spirit and he would enlighten the eyes of our heart. Because how do we do that? He doesn't give a formula. He doesn't even like expand on these things. He just says them and he's like, yeah, kind of figure it out yourself. You know, I'm like, Paul, come on. I wish I was there. But there's hope. There is hope when you know him. And I pray that would be fruit that comes through in my family's souls, that they would have hope. So the second thing he says, that you would know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Everybody say inheritance. We getting paid today. Just kidding. Oh, man. This kind of has maybe a double meaning. I don't know. When I first read this, I was like, man, this is awesome because the riches of his glory, of his inheritance. Like, you think about what is an inheritance. You know, financially, it's what gets passed down from a previous generation to the next generation. Whether it's money, any type of property, assets, collectibles, all that jazz. Whatever gets passed down from one generation to the other. And his inheritance, you're like, oh, well, this is the son. Like, Jesus is going to inherit. And, or God is going to inherit the saints. God is, he's done all this work so that he can get. Like, when you think of inheritance, you're like, oh, what am I going to get? Here's what God is going to get. He's going to get, he loves people so much that he's going to get us. Yes? No? Okay, more yeses than no, so we'll continue. But that's, you know, that's okay. But I think, what I think here is that if when we look at inheritance, when I think about my inheritance, it's, sure, what I'm going to get from my parents. But my inheritance also is what I've built in this life that I passed down. That's my inheritance to my children. See how my inheritance kind of has two different meanings? Okay, so that's what I think could be going on here, but most likely, for a couple reasons, I think this inheritance is talking about what God has done and what he is going to give to us. And the riches of his glory is his inheritance in us, is the glory and of his inheritance that is going to be received by us. What has he done that he passes down to the saints? That type of inheritance. Because before that, it talks about the hope of his calling. Whose calling? His calling that he gives to who? Us. His calling he gives to us. And later we'll talk about his great power towards us. So his power, his calling towards us, his power towards us. So I think it makes sense for it to be his inheritance towards us that he's giving us. So we're going in this direction. Okay? Okay. I don't know. We're going to keep going, I guess. And so who would get an inheritance? If you think about, you know, last week we talked about the parable of the prodigal son, and he split it in half to the younger brother. And he's like, oh, this is your share. But even if you think about in Jewish culture, the birth order was incredibly valuable and incredibly important. So if you're the firstborn son, you're the oldest son, you would be in charge and you would get the inheritance. Yay? Okay, now, in God's family, who is the firstborn son? Wow. You guys. Let's go to the tape. Colossians 1:15. For he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Verse 18. So that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Be preeminent, some versions say. So now if Jesus is the firstborn, okay, he's going to get the inheritance. Sayonara, see you later, all of y'all. Okay, but maybe you forgot all of the in hymns that just happened before. Thanks. Right? But now we're in Christ, so it's our inheritance too. Are we awake? So all of the riches, all of the glory, all of the everything that Jesus has earned as proper firstborn, as the heir to all creation, going to inherit and reign in the new heaven, in the new earth, and all glory that goes to him and all power that goes to him as he's finished the work and seated at the right hand of God, as he looks over everything and you go, wow, he was so great. He was so powerful. He had so much, you know, love and joy and peace and gentleness and self-control and all of these things that are part of who Christ is. Now they're still his and now God has moved you in him. That's a really good point. I mean, maybe, see, I read this and I'm like, my goodness, this is probably the most amazing thing. Because now how do I get it? Well, he got it, and then God just moves you in him. But do we understand that that is what we're inheriting? That we're inheriting what Jesus should get all for himself and all by himself. And now for some reason, God, out of his love, his great love with which he loves us, because he has a plan to display his glory, says, this belongs to my son. And every Sunday at 10 a.m., everybody will gather and sing to a cross and worship him. That's in the, you know, the old canon, the new canon, the next canon. But he says, like, we're going to worship him and you're going to bow down to him because he deserves all honor, all praise, all glory. And yet, I'm going to put you in him so that you have access to the riches of his glory as well. And do we know that? Do we live that? Does he constantly open the eyes of our heart? Does he enlighten the eyes of our heart so that we can see that? That this finished work that he does, that he has done as the firstborn, as the rightful heir to all things of God, is now ours. By no means of your own, by nothing that you've done, by no great prayer, but because he has called and he loves and he pours this out. And do our families know this? Like, is this what we're praying? Like, I want you to see this. Son, daughter, niece, nephew, spouse. Like, you're off track, but I want you to see this, that what he's, like, you're trying so hard, but what, I'm just imagining a conversation. You're trying so hard, but, like, what you don't understand is that it, you're, like, you have it. Like, you don't need to get it. You have it. You have the inheritance. It's in Christ. Yeah, sure, it's all his, but you're in him now. You've been put in him, and now we need God to just open the eyes of the hearts of the people around us to know him so that he would pour out these things in their lives. And so the inheritance, number one, is eternal life. It's knowing God. Paul talks about this in Philippians, where he says the following few things. When I flip there, someday. I keep flipping between the same two pages, building anticipation. But when he talks about, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have, for knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Knowing God is of the utmost importance. Having him is of the utmost importance. Having him is what it's all about. Having God, having a relationship with God is what it's all about. Do we count the things in our life as lost so that we may know him? I'm not saying there's things that physical things are neither, you know, glorious or evil, but they shouldn't have you. He should have you, and you should be pursuing him and knowing him because there's nothing greater that will satisfy your soul. And so, sure, eternal life and spending it with him, knowing him when there's no more sorrows, when there's no more pain. But even now, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and life more abundantly. And so as he walked this earth, it was the Father's good pleasure to dwell with him. That it was his pleasure that he would be the perfect son that God the Father could completely dwell with. And now that's what we have, that God the Father could completely dwell with us. And now, what does that do? Well, it shouldn't be just this is great, and then it's a license to just go and do whatever the heck you want to do all the time. Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? No. You can read about that in a book. But now, what does it do? Well, this inheritance is now pouring out, yes, him and his spirit and knowing him and being with him, but that produces something called fruit that are, you could look at them as, sure, characteristics of Jesus, but also fruit of the spirit. So these things that we so try and get, we read a book, we take a course, we're like, how do we get happier? And we go to Barnes & Noble, if that still exists, and you're like, the self-help section, how do I get happier? I've been a little bit sad lately. And it's like, okay, well, maybe there's a 12-step program for some of these things, but at the same time, like, are we bearing the fruit of the Spirit, knowing that God wants to work those things in us as our inheritance so that we would be satisfied in him? And this list in Galatians, it talks about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are these parts of us knowing him? Are we moving towards these types of things? Is our family moving towards these types of things? These are a byproduct of knowing him. As you know him more, you should have more joy. You're like, I'm just always anxious. It's like, well, maybe you should stop trying to not be anxious and try and pursue him. You're like, I don't like anybody, all these people. You got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to be transformed. And it's all of this thing. I'm reading these things. I'm like, wow, this is elementary, my dear Watson. But at the same time, it's like, it's not about knowing new things. It's about being someone new. And you can be someone new because he made a way and because it is what he wants to do, because he wants to make you like his son. And we're like, okay, how do we get more self-control? And it's like, you can look through the ages and all these things that people would do. Oh, I made a mistake, so I'm going to flog myself. And it's like, okay, well, now you remember the consequences of all that. But maybe a greater option is saying, hey, son, instead of you beating yourself up because you feel like you don't have enough self-control, why don't we pursue God more? Why don't we ask him to reveal himself to you so that you would know him, so that you would be filled with the fruit of self-control, that his spirit would be a part of you, that he would work on this part of your life so that you would have self-control. Like, is that the direction that our families are heading? Like, that's a much more permanent change than just like, you know, here's one of those whip things that they slap on your back. That's what they used to do, like the old priests, to like make them more self-control. Anyway, but that's the point. Like, is there, do you need to be self-flagellizing, whatever that word is, self-flagellation? Because that's how you're going to get more self-control? Sure, maybe that works. Maybe that works temporarily. But is your spirit renewed? Do you understand the riches of this inheritance that God has for you, that he wants for you, and that to get them, the eyes of your heart need to be enlightened? We need to be praying these things for our family. Because physical, sure, there is, you know, the lady that talked about the rehab center a couple months ago, she talked about all these programs and things and like coming out of addiction. There are very tangible steps and things that you do need to do. But hopefully underlying that, it's like you need to move towards knowing God. And we're like, yeah, we know that. Do we? Is that our pursuit? Or is our pursuit trying to just show off love and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? And we're like, I can just do that. It's like, but is it a part of us because we know him? And I pray that my family would understand the riches of this glory, of this inheritance that is owed to Christ, because he is the heir of all things. And he will reign in the new heaven and the new earth. But now this, his inheritance is in the saints. It's in us because we're in him. And what he has earned is bestowed to us. And lastly, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? Power, surpassing greatness of his power, the immeasurable greatness of his power, some say. We serve a strong God. We serve a God who is mighty, and he is strong, and he cannot and will not be defeated. And he will go forth, and he has gone forth, and he has defeated all of your enemies. And he has put them under his feet. And this Christ, like, sometimes it's like, oh, he's like this guy, just a gentle hug, he's just holding a lamb. But he is fierce. He is fierce, and he was not afraid, because in his perfection, he knew God perfectly. And all of that power you think about the power of God. Like, I don't even know if we have enough. Like, this is one of those things that it's like, you're going to take an eternity to learn of the power of God. By his word, he spoke the universe into existence. Here we go. We're going again. Hebrews chapter 1, verse something. In these last days, he spoke to the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And he is the radiance of the glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. And Colossians talks about how everything was made by him and for him and through him, and in him all things are held together. I mean, think about this power. It's like not a wattage measurement. It's not like he could bend space and time. And we think about all these things that we would do with power, and we would rule and lord it over people, or whatever you would do with any type of power. But this power, in fullness of this God who could create the entire universe, could also make dead things come alive. And it's, you know, when you make a Lego thing, like you follow the instructions and you get like 250 pieces and you make this Lego thing, it takes your time, energy, effort. And then it's like a little truck or whatever, a little, you know, building that's there. You're like, oh, well, it's great. And like, that's cool. But when it breaks and it falls apart, and you've lost after several days and you've thrown out the instructions and you're not sure if you can find all the pieces, how much more effort is it going to take to rebuild that? More or less. You have the instructions and everything's in the nice little baggies and it takes some effort to build it. We're talking about the same thing. We're talking about just making the same thing. But when something is broken and it's dead, to make it come alive takes an incredible amount of power. And do we appreciate what it took to make us come alive? Do we appreciate that this God who counted equality with God not something to be grasped? But he said, in everything that I could do, that I could blow up the entire universe, that I could destroy everything, that I could just snap my fingers and make a city disappear, I could flood the earth and remove everybody from it, I could just annihilate anything. He says, but what I'm going to do with my power is I'm going to take it and I am going to send my Son to go there among the lowly and the broken and be like the men who hate me and be like the men who have stood against me and be like the men who don't know me, not even just the Jews who have the law, but all these Gentiles. I'm going to go and I'm going to represent all of them and I am going to satisfy the wrath of God. And instead of destroying everything or just wiping the slate clean and starting over, this power, he goes and he redeems. He goes and he says, I'm going to put the whole world on my back and we're going to make it new. We're going to redeem it all. We're going to finish the work that we started. We're going to save my people. We're going to create a bride. We're going to create a household for my Father to display his glory for all of eternity. And this is like talking to a wall sometimes, because, like, man, this power is towards us. This power is working in us. This power is renewing this. This is the power that reached into your heart and breathed life into it when you were dead. This is the power that you get when you just don't know what to do anymore, but something happens, like you're on your last straw, but there's power that just like, I don't know if I'm going to continue, and there's breakthrough, and he molds you, and he takes you, and he's got you this whole way, and his power, the immeasurable, the surpassing greatness of his power that is all in this all-consuming God, this holy God, that how could we stand before him? He says, I'm going to make it so you can. Like, this is good news. And on Tuesday, 3 years from now, 20 years from now, if this is not our foundation, we're gonna have problems. Because this, knowing God and knowing that his power is working in us, and it is to us and it is for us. I don't know. I hope the eyes of your heart are enlightened that this is an amazing revelation. Maybe you know this and you would get the right answer on a test, but do we live it? But do our children live it? Do we talk about this with them? We say like, listen, take a breath. Where did that breath come from? That was allowed by a sovereign God. We can't do anything. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And yet, he sustains us, and his power is at work in us. And these things, and knowing God, he wants to make himself known. Sometimes it may not seem like that, but he wants to make himself known. He wants to make his son known. He wants you to know him so that these things would become a reality. And what I was talking about before, it's like this is a promise. This is a guarantee in Jesus. In him, because God sent his son, God sent the sacrifice and said, I'm going to take everything that you thought you could do, I'm going to do it by myself, for myself, and that you would benefit, that we, his people, would benefit. I'm going to crush my son, and I'm going to raise him up. I'm going to satisfy my wrath so that only goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. So that you would understand, like, that there's now no barrier between God and us. Now you don't have to go to a high priest. There's no holy of holies. Not just, like, that was a good reference this morning, but that type of experience. But that's a good point. But there's no curtain that separates us from him. There's no separation. And it's not that you've ascended. It's that Christ descended and did it all for us. Because all of these things, that we would know him, that we would know the hope of his calling, and that we would know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and that we would know that his power towards us on a daily basis, these are in accordance with the working of his strength, of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he God the Father raised him, Jesus, from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Where are you? Where am I? Where am I in that? Where am I in that? Man, knowing what he did, this is the gospel is my most favorite topic, because it makes great the one who is truly great. It magnifies the work and the power and the love and the glory of God. Because this is foundational and fundamental. And you might be in a great spot right now, or you might be in a terrible spot right now, but the gospel has the power to save. The gospel has the power to transform. The gospel is good news. It's a message to the hopeless. It's a message to the broken and to the addicted. And it's a message to sons and daughters of God that you know that you're saved, but I'm going to remind you again that you're sealed, that the Holy Spirit, you're sealed in the Holy Spirit, which is a promise of this inheritance. It's a pledge of his inheritance, that he's coming back for you. And that there's nothing that you can do to get away from him, and he's going to constantly pursue you. And you just get the goodness. And knowing him and building that into our life and praying, God, would you reveal yourself to our family members? Would you reveal yourself to them and make yourself known and open, enlighten the eyes of their heart, so that they could properly see this message that is folly, that is foolish, that is wild and crazy, that we say this guy came from heaven. He came from heaven? What? You're like, and we go, oh yeah, he did, because we grew up with that story in Sunday school, or like it's a requirement of believing, but he came from heaven and walked this earth. And we go, yeah, but like, I just pray that we don't lose the what is the right word here? We don't lose the proper perspective or the I don't know. We don't lose the gospel because it's the foundation of knowing him. And our families need to know that too. Every day. This is the gospel. We're living the gospel. This is the good news. We're going to get through it. God has a way. Because he was put seated at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, all authority, and power, and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. Because he is above all things, and he is strong. And he has defeated our enemies, and he is strong enough to hold us through the storms. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, under Jesus' feet. He's above all those things. And then God gave Jesus as head over all things to us, to the church. And now he reigns, and we are his body on this earth, hopefully knowing him and obeying his will and following what he has. And that's what we hope for our families, that they would continue in the knowledge of him, that they would grow in the knowledge of him, and that God would continue to reveal himself and bring him on. And this is frustrating because we're like, don't you get it, kid? And they don't get it. It could take 20 years. They got a lifetime to learn it. And God works in God's timing. He works in his timing. But we're going to stand on this. Let's just pray to close here. Can you put up that last slide? I want you to think about these because this is why we're here. We're talking about praying for our family, knowing these things for ourselves, but also that we would be interceding on others' behalf, that we would ask God in all of his wisdom and all of his glory to just shed a little bit on the people we love the most in this body. So right now, I'll pray. But I want you in your heart of hearts. Like, who comes to mind right now when you think about this? It's your children, it's your spouse, it's your mom, it's your dad, it's your cousin, your aunts, your uncles, it's your friend, it's your coworker, it's your boss, it's whoever. It's a guy you just met. But lift them up and put them before God and say, Lord, help this person. Reveal yourself to this person. And so, Father, right now, we ask your spirit to move. Father, reveal in our hearts, in our minds, somebody who you want us to pray for. Whether saved or unsaved, eternal life is knowing you, God, and knowing Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Father, it's not by any word or any song or any whatever, any picture. Those may be tools, but ultimately your spirit needs to move. Father, we pray for your spirit to move in our families, for our sons and daughters, our parents, our spouses, grandparents, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, for our friends, Lord. I pray that your spirit would move and that you would enlighten the eyes of their hearts so that they would know what is the hope of their calling. Lord, would you call them right now? Call our children. Call our children. Remind them of their calling, that it would produce hope in them so that their soul may be anchored through the storm. Father, I pray that we would know you more and that you would pour out a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of who you are, so that they would know what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. That your goodness and what you've stored up and the work that you've accomplished in Christ is not just his and his alone. It is his and his alone. But in him, you have made us heirs. In him you have poured out that inheritance, that infinite inheritance of who you are and of every gift that you have. You've made it available to your people. Would you show that to us? Would we not be afraid or timid to ask for things? Would we pray bold prayers and pull down these spiritual blessings that you've made available in him? That we would know you, that our love, our joy, our peace, all of that would increase, and that it would increase in our families and in our friends. And that we would know the surpassing greatness of your power that you worked in him when you raised him from the dead. Would that power, would that new life, would it continue to work in our hearts to remove the areas that are still like stone, that are charred, that are broken, that our hearts would be renewed, but even in our families, Lord, that they would continue on this path, knowing day by day that you're renewing them. We thank you for miraculous salvation. We thank you for miraculous times when you have transformed us. But Lord, we thank you that you work all things for our good and that you are still at work, even when it's not in immediate action. And Lord, I pray these things for this body. Lord, we know that you, Jesus, are the head of this church, and that all of these gifts and your grace and your mercy is available for this body. Let it be so. Let this church be a light and a beacon of hope in this community as we go forth with our ministries. Help us to share the good news. Help us to make you known so that our communities would know these things. You are good. We trust you, Lord. We can't do it on our own. We need you. Holy Spirit, we need you to move. We thank you. Thank you for the work that you've done and the work you're continuing to do. In Jesus' name, amen. That's that. Why don't you get your kids? If you want prayer, need prayer, whatever, we'll be hanging. But have a good week. We'll see you in September. Later in August, but thank you, everybody. Have a good week. Be blessed as you